Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, you're back with another episode of the World of Muscle. This is episode 22. Hey, Randy.
This is our 22nd?
This is our 22nd episode.
Lost track.
That's okay. Well, at least one of us keeps track. All right, so today we were going to talk about your chin-up bar, but it's not ready yet, so we're talking about... Well, since we didn't really finish the nutrition part, people have been asking us to delve into more detail. And,
you know, the vegan question and raw foods and that, yeah, keeps continuing. Yeah, so this kind of going to be part three.
This is part three of what we started, I guess, three episodes ago.
A couple episodes ago, with Arnold and his plea for us to turn vegetarian. Or at least cut down our meat consumption.
To save the planet. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you want to begin?
Well, I've been asked several times by people over the past few years, do I talk about raw food eating and specifically meat eating and vegetarianism in my books? And I said only where it applies historically. Just because I might do something doesn't mean I could interject and write all about a certain topic. It has to have happened in history in the sport of bodybuilding, the Iron Game, right?
Yeah, to fit into the books, right? I mean, this book is about the history of bodybuilding.
Yeah, and raw food eating was poo-pooed by some going way back 100 years, and it was adopted by others. And I wrote, going back... When people think of raw food eating, they always think of just veganism because the concept of eating raw meat is just so bizarre, right? So everybody thinks of raw food eating as veganism. But in history of bodybuilding, there have been fellows who have eaten raw meat. And specifically, the biggest character I spoke about in volume one was Armand Taney, who in big character at Muscle Beach. Our man was one of the big guys at Muscle Beach. He was the younger brother of Vic Taney, who ran the Vic Taney gym chains, right? Our man went out to Muscle Beach in 1930s, I think he was there first. I think his brother followed him out afterwards in 1940. But our man was strong, and he did some wrestling, and he ended up in the Hawaiian Islands in 1947, I believe. And he was so impressed by the Samoans that they were huge and they were strong and they ate a lot of raw meat, raw pork, raw beetles, raw fruit. And impressed upon our man so much that he came home. He was planning to go into medical school. I think he had a couple of years of medical school under his belt. And he had read the Western Price's 1939 book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And he said he just turned the stove off and started eating raw meat. And our man took the Mr. USA and the Pro Mr. America back in 1949 and 1950. Those were the two big titles of the time. And I think he retired from competitive bodybuilding from that point on. He kept his raw food eating quite to himself. He was never afraid to write about eating meat through the cholesterol hysteria in the 1980s, but he kept the raw aspect of it to himself. Going back, obviously, like guys like Vince Gironda, Steak Tartare, and Vince was into raw milk and raw cream, as was Rio Blair before him, and coming out of Chicago, Irving Johnson from Chicago in the 1950s, he was big into getting into raw dairy and raw cream and raw eggs, and he came to the West Coast and changed his name to Rio Blair in 1958, and those guys were two of the pioneers of nutrition and bodybuilding through the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And Rio died in 83. Vince died in 1997?
97, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. But before these guys, going back even further, there's a fellow named George Hackenschmidt. He was the Russian Lion. He's a weightlifter, and he was a wrestler too. He became a vegan, I think, after the age of 30. Before that, once he retired from wrestling, a lot of the vegans who are into strength training, they hang their hat on George because George was quite a unique guy, very strong body constitution, no doubt, because of the way he ate after he became a vegan. But I have Charles, in Volume 2, I quoted a gentleman named Charles Fraser, who was a vegan in the 1970s, and he was writing for some of the magazines, and he was mentioning George Hackenschmidt. And I think you have, I sent you.
Yes, I have. Quote. I have the quote that you sent me, which I'm going to read. So this was written by Charles Fraser, and you can find it in the July 1979 issue of Iron Man.
The article was written by Fraser. He's quoting somebody else who had this passage from George, I believe. But it was in Charles Fraser's article in that issue of Iron Man magazine.
Which is volume 38, number 5.
Yeah.
And it's called A Dietary Debate. And it goes, most of us have read about the great Russian lion, George Hackenschmidt, who was a weightlifting champion and a wrestling champion at the beginning of the century. Few people know that he became a raw food vegetarian shortly after he retired from competition and still a young man. Hackenschmidt had developed a bad knee, a synovitis or inflammation of the lining membrane of the joint, just before his world championship bout with Frank Gotch. When Gotch got his favorite hold, the toehold, on Hackenschmidt in the early minutes of the bout, he nearly ruined Hackenschmidt. After returning to England, Hackenschmidt wanted to find out why he, a healthy and fit man, should have such an acid condition in his body that contributed to the bad knee. He studied diet and all the health factors and promptly became a raw food vegetarian. His knee recovered very shortly after that. However, he did not wish to compete in professional wrestling anymore because he had lost his interest. A writer visited Hack when he was near 60 and described the strongman philosopher thusly. He is now very near the 60-year mark, yet he looks the best he has ever looked. His health is as near perfect as it could be. He is just as strong and as agile as he ever was, handles the same weights as formerly in his prime, he's still in his prime, and he does not carry any visible fat, though weighing 200 pounds. Hackenschmidt eats nothing since the war, World War II, except raw vegetables, fruits, and nuts. His usual day's rations consisting of one head of cabbage, one head of lettuce, and some 6 to 12 Brazil nuts. His Spartan meal is usually eaten at one time, as his custom is one meal a day. Hackenschmidt was also known to be fond of fruit, and during certain periods, ate mostly apples. Hackenschmidt lived to 90 years, tapered off his weight training, and did a great deal of running, even in his 80s. Hackenschmidt devoted himself to scientific studies and wrote many volumes on philosophy and applied psychology. An all-around man of strength, marvelous physique, intellectual powers, and outstanding accomplishments and contributions makes one wonder if any such men will come from the pill-popping, flesh-eating, muscle-pumping monsters that dominate bodybuilding and weightlifting today.
Yes.
That's a pretty good seller of raw food vegetarianism.
Yeah, and I would say if anybody wants to conduct their lifestyle with a diet of a head of lettuce, a head of cabbage, and 6 to 12 Brazil nuts, have at it. George, in his youth, that wrestling match, there's some controversy around that wrestling match as to whether his knee was injured purposely before that match, and that Gotch went after that knee foot. But regardless, George also, I quoted from him in his 1908 book, The Way to Life. He basically said he at one time was drinking 11 pints of milk, whether it was raw or pasteurized. I don't know.
Well, let me read that. I have that here too. So unless you want to continue.
No, go ahead. This is the quote I sent you from Volume 1. Talks about his opinion at the age of 30 regarding diet. It's fairly rational.
Okay, so in his book, The Way of Life, 1908, he stated, I believe I am right in asserting that our Creator has provided food and nutriment for every being for its own advantage. Man is born without frying pan or stew pot. The purest natural food for human beings would, therefore, be fresh, uncooked food and nuts. It is not my intention to discuss here the old problem whether meat is necessary as food for man or whether man was created and should remain a vegetarian. My experience has taught me that foodstuffs are of secondary importance. There are very strong people who are strict vegetarians, whilst others eat a great deal of meat. A fare that consists of 3/4 vegetable food and 1/4 meat would appear to be most satisfactory for the people of Central Europe.
Again, Hackenschmidt's recommendations would be, you know, pretty reasonable for anywhere these days for the general public, okay? Now, I mean, George...
this was in 1908.
That's 1908. Obviously, he's correct. Like, strength is other genetic factors. That's like biomechanics, right? Leverages, certain leverages. Because he said he gave diet a secondary seat to that. But, you know, you take the average population, you try to put them on the same. George was born, obviously, and had a very strong, what I call, bodily constitution. Well, he was able to, after a certain age, after he had been growing, okay, this is, it would be one, I'd like to see what would happen if George would have ate the 6 to 12 Brazil nuts and a head of cabbage and a head of lettuce while he was growing as a child, okay? So he was already growing and over 30 years old, exactly when he turned vegetarian, we don't know, but he was able to live out his life to 90 years old. And Buddy there, Charles, said he'd welcome to see anybody else can do that from bodybuilding. Our man Tanny lived to 90 years old, eating primarily protein and raw meats. But our man Tanny even partied quite a bit too, right? So he wasn't a saint in his diet. He still lived to be 90 years old. Like, I mean, in another podcast about raw food eating, we'll talk about raw foods and longevity and the genomic clock and stuff like that. But I want to be fair to show that, you know, there's people out there who have been vegan, and Charles Fraser himself was a weightlifting coach back in the 1970s when he wrote this article, and he's obviously a pretty strong guy. So I wrote about Charles, to be fair. At the same time, I also wrote about Richard Tucker, who was a raw food eater, raw meat eater back in the 1970s. And I compared the two guys because, you know, Richard Tucker, who was out of Illinois, actually later on moved to New Zealand. At a very young age, he's reading about the works of Weston Price in the 1960s, and William Beaumont, who Beaumont's known for, he was a doctor who studied digestion back in the early 1800s. With one patient, Alexis St. Martin, who had this half part of his stomach blown away, and he had an open aperture into his stomach so he could literally see right into his stomach when he was putting foods down there. I write about that all in volume two. That's actually quite interesting. But I showed those two guys, they differed in diet dramatically, you know, Richard being a raw meat eater and Charles being a vegan. But another guy who championed veganism in bodybuilding was Roy Hilligan, 1951 Mr. America. And I was accused by one of my critics a few years back of calling Roy a liar in volume one, which I didn't. You have
I have another piece. Yeah,
that this is from volume one regarding Roy Hilligan.
Okay. Possessing freakish strength and claiming to have never eaten any meat at all. Clarence Bass, in his article, Roy Hilligan, a Marvel, then and now, quoted Hilligan, "I believe being a vegetarian all my life is a secret to my youthful countenance and longevity and perfect health. Roy says he has never eaten turkey, fish, chicken, or red meat. I truly believe, says Roy, that fruit is the body's cleanser. Vegetables are the body's healer, and meat is the body's premature aging agent." In an article by Jim Murray, Hilligan did indicate that he used milk in his diet. However, a letter to Hoffman's Strength and Health in 1946 had Roy confessing to gathering protein for more than just dairy. "I eat about 3 meals a day, plenty of milk, fruit, dried fruit, and lean meat. Can't eat like a horse. Where it goes, nobody knows." And I believe you assert this in the book, saying, "Was a young Roy Hilligan too socially uncomfortable to admit his vegetarian ways? Or was an older version of him just too stubborn to admit he at one time ate meat?"
Yeah.
And we'll never know.
No, that's, I guess, why somebody believed I called him a liar. But I didn't. I just, state looking at his own apparent contradiction, you know, okay, so maybe he didn't meet at some time, right? He just didn't want to say that. And later on, Roy lived to be about 85 years of age. I think he was 85 when he died. I had to double check that. But so he lived a pretty long life. Roy had some other issues that we won't get into. But, you know, I say this, in the Iron Game, I mentioned this before, some very prominent men in the industry, such as Mark Berry, Dr. Fred Tilney, who wrote a lot for the Weeders and a lot about nutrition in the Weeders, and Bernard McFadden, who's considered by many to be the father of physical culture, Jack LaLanne, these guys all abandoned veganism. They all brought animal products into the diet after a period of time. And probably one of the guys who studied more vegans than anybody else was the late Dr. Ogenes von der Planitz. He said he dealt with thousands of them, and he only found a few that he said could actually do well on it. Actually, maybe George Hackenschmidt would have been one of them had he met George. But he said typically what he was a vegan himself, and he said what he would see would be about 7-8 years before the problems would kick in. And I've talked about this in the other show. I had 4.5 years. We both know Pam Clean. She's very outspoken about this. She lasts, I think, 9 years. So many people have had to stop because of issues, mm-hmm. not just boredom, but health issues. So, like, it's people's own business what they want to do, but they should really research it thoroughly before they take that step into veganism. And I think that many of them are taking it for the wrong reasons, and they think they're doing it for the right reasons, and they're not. I don't think specifically that they are the right reasons. So,
I mean, we're all different, right? And some people can do well, and some people can last 9 years, and some people after 2 months can't take it anymore. I mean, you never know. Is that the only, I guess, thing we can mention is that you just need to have an open mind to realize that this may not be for you, instead of just sticking to it and being stubborn about it and calling it a cleanse or calling it a detox. But when you don't feel good, that's usually a sign your body's telling you something.
Yeah, and we found out in the last episode what happened with me, and I was eating a lot more than 6 to 12 Brazil nuts and cabbage and lettuce. It just, I was not digesting that food appropriately, and I was starving myself. And when I ate the foods that were appropriate for me, I saw what happened. Like, it was dramatic. That's my thing. I just don't understand this argument that we are vegetarian or herbivores or not so carnivores. But the genome is very dynamic, and we can digest both. And yeah, or we wouldn't be able to eat it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, people say, you can't eat me. Well, of course we can. We'd throw it right up or, you know, right out the other end. So that was my beef. You know, if you do what you want, but don't tell me that I have to be a vegetarian either to save myself or to save the planet, because there's so many – such a vast argument there, and that the facts are not clear on the vegan side at all.
That sounds good to me.
We'll talk more show specifically on raw food eating. People have been – like, that's the greatest question I get the most about, but I haven't done any shows where I just get right into talking about, you know, just raw food eating. We've done some, you know, talking about when I
mentioned
the milk, the 50-pound weight gain and all that stuff. But why do you want to do raw food? What's the advantage of eating raw food? Well, you know, aren't you afraid of this or getting this or that? You know, all those questions.
Yeah, those we'll come to those.
Yeah.
Okay, Randy. Well, I think we're done for any news and updates. Not much happened since the last.
Yeah, my chinning bar is almost done. My welder Rick, he's just took it back to clean up some welds and grind it down, and he might even bring it back tomorrow. We'll be ready to take some pics.
Okay. Well, I'll put that up, and we'll do a show about it as soon as you have it and you've tested it and you've done all the exercises you want on it.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Like, when you brought it over, it's all. See all these little adjusting, like, four different levers to adjust the angles and the widths and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool.
All right, Randy. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode. and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.